Welcome to the award-winning Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashner, covering metaphysics, ETs, shamanism, and channeling. Here you will find spiritual inspiration from today's thought leaders, along with cutting-edge insights from our interstellar brothers and sisters and ancient shamanic wisdom. Now, here's a new episode of Dare to Dream with your host, Debbie Dashner.
Welcome to Dare to Dream, where the extraordinary isn't fiction, it's the conversation. I've got Julie Ryan here today, and in the next few moments, you're going to discover how the invisible world around you, your angels, your past lives, your health, even the loved ones that you've lost, are actually communicating with you constantly. So stay with us. You're going to want to hear what Julie reveals, because it may change the way you understand healing, death, and your own soul's design. And if you'd like to learn more about her, go to askjulieryan.com. And Julie, I am so excited to have you on the show today. Thanks for being here.
Oh my, what a delight to be with you.
Mm-mm-mm. My dear, you call yourself a buffet of psychicness.
That's right.
So if human consciousness is a spectrum, where do all those abilities come from? And why do certain ones activate for certain people? Some of them are more strong, have more strength than somebody, or are combined in a very strong way. Talk about that.
Everybody has the ability to do woo woo. Woo means source in Taoism. A lot of people don't know that. And I think woo woo is a fun word. We're supposed to be having fun when we're doing this stuff. Everybody has the ability. We all come in, and it's just a matter of developing and enhancing it. And so little children, especially, are very intuitive. They know things that there's no way they could know until their grown-ups say, oh, honey, that's just your imagination. That's not really true. And then they shut it down. So I am not a psychic that had dead people chasing her since childhood. Or if I did, I didn't know it, let alone what I would have done with that information. I learned how to do all of this.
I walked to your table. What would I see on your buffet? What are the gifts that you've got?
All of them. Once we connect with spirit, we can do it all. Communicate with deceased loved ones. Communicate with any spirit, whether it's attached to a body or not. Everything's remote. We can find you if you were in a galaxy far, far away. Doesn't matter. Tell how close to death somebody is. Do past lives. I'm like a human MRI with healing.
That's amazing.
I can see inside people's bodies with their permission, kind of like an X-ray or a CT scan or an MRI, facilitate energetic healings, do pet conversations and healings. It's all spirit. So once we connect with spirit, then we have access to the whole kit and caboodle, the whole, what I call the buffet of psychicness.
Be so joyful to work with the animals, because they don't come with all the stuff that people do, right? And I would think that they don't have a big guard up or like prove yourself to me or anything like that, that they're very accessible, very open, and probably all they want to do is be well, be heard, be communicated with. How is it for you?
I find it's all joyful, really. And it's just a matter of working with spirit, having a spirit working through me and with me to help people heal or an animal heal. Healing is sometimes a medical thing. Sometimes it's a psychological or an emotional thing. Sometimes death is the healing and helping them transition. And when we're working with spirit, and you know this, it's a very high vibration. It's pure joy, pure love. And so all of it is fun. Certainly, I have the human emotions that go with something that perhaps is really a heart-wrenching experience of losing a loved one, or somebody has a medical condition that's very frightening. And certainly that comes into play. But working with spirit, I have found to be very joyful.
Do you have animals who live with you?
I do. Yes.
Oh, tell us. And what's your relationship with them like?
Well, now, they're in heaven. I don't have any at the moment, but my favorite dog, Katie, was just wonderful. And she's around all the time. We can hear her. We can see her. If I turn on my radar, my abilities, I turn on and off at will. And that's how I teach people to do it as well. I don't want to go around scanning people. I don't want to be in a crowd and I say, oh, that one's got strep throat. Oh, that one's just lost his dad. Oh, that one's got whatever. I mean, it's none of my business and I don't really have the desire to know. But she's always there when there's a healing being performed on me, which is very sweet.
I love that. What is it from your perspective, Julie? What's the actual architecture of the afterlife? Who shows up? Who guides us? What is universally true for every soul, regardless of belief system or otherwise?
Everybody goes to heaven. There was a movie out in the 1980s, All Dogs Go to Heaven, All People Go to Heaven as well. And we're all surrounded by angels and the spirits of deceased loved ones and pets as we're transitioning. And I've coined what I call the 12 phases of transition, which is a sequence of events that unfolds when somebody's dying. I find, Deb, that there's a lot of information about the afterlife. There's a lot of information about how to grieve past lives, even near-death experiences, but not much out about what happens when somebody's dying. And that's really what I focus on. Interestingly enough, there's university-based research that shows that 90% of people at the end of their lives see the spirits of deceased loved ones and pets as they're transitioning. 90%. And so perhaps we were with our grandmother when she was dying, and at the end of her life, she was talking with her deceased mother. And we all thought, oh, that's just the morphine that hospice has given her. And actually, she really could see and communicate with her mother, let's say, who'd been dead for 40 years. And so people find that to be very, very comforting, because we're all taught when you die, are you going to fly or are you going to fry? And people are afraid of it. So everybody's surrounded by angels. Everybody goes to heaven. It's really a glorious event.
Angel get chosen for you? Is it past incarnations or current multidimensional incarnations where this is actually angelic family? Or is it because of the job you're going to do or the being you're going to be? How does that work?
How do we choose our family? Is that what you asked?
The angels specifically who work with us, you say we all have angels. So yeah. How do those angels know I'm going to be with Julie? I'm going to be with Debbie. I'm going to be with Tom. Why yeah. are they assigned to us?
Our guardian angels are assigned to us is what I've been told by spirit. And they stay with us throughout all of our lifetimes. And guardian angels are a riot. All of them are. Spirit has just a great sense of humor. Spirit's hilarious. And when I first started doing this stuff, Debbie, it was angels, guardian angels, especially, they'd want to know, my client would want to know, what's my guardian angel's name? And so I'd ask them, and they'd come in with some long name that was like 15 letters and it was all consonants. And I'd say, how am I supposed to pronounce that? Can you just give me an American English name that's easy to pronounce? And so then they started doing that, like Max and Sam and Sue and whatever, and names that we would recognize. They don't care what we call them. That's a human thing. So that's the only one that I get is assigned. It's interesting when somebody's dying, though, Debbie, because it's the female spirit closest to the dying person that runs the show from the spirit world. And that surprised me. I thought God probably had a division in heaven or a department that they'd say, okay, Millie Sue's dying in Mississippi, so we need to send a bunch of angels out to help her. When in actuality, it's the maternal spirit that raised that person who's dying, whether it be the birth mother, the adopted mother, perhaps a grandmother or an aunt or somebody else, foster mother sometimes. They're the ones that are really running the show from the spirit world. They call in the angels. They call in the deceased loved ones' spirits. And there are so many spirits that show up, Debbie, that it looks like dots on the horizon in a crowd scene. And they come in from all of our lifetimes. You mentioned lifetimes. So they'll have period dress on, as I perceive them, which is just hilarious. Because we'll see people dressed like cavemen and Renaissance characters and twiggy during the 1960s, go-go boots and miniskirts kind of a thing. So it's really fun to see.
It's really interesting you say that. I have never watched this TV show, but there is a TV show called Ghosts. I only see the trailers. And exactly what you're talking about is clearly the premise of the show. This young couple gets married. They purchase a house. It is highly occupied by ghosts. And all of the ghosts show up in period costume.
Yeah.
You've got the guy who was shot through the head with an arrow. Yeah, you've got the woman, you know, who worked at a bar. You've got all across the board.
Yeah.
Very interesting that there's some legitimacy to that.
Oh,
makes you wonder who's writing these things.
There's so much in the screenwriting of people. I mean, look at the Jetsons, for heaven's sakes. I mean, all those things that they talked about have come true. Flying cars, what Elon says, he's got a flying car, but all of that. And one of my favorite movies is Contact with Jodie Foster. It was out, I think, in the early 90s, maybe, when we had those great big computer monitors that took up your whole desk. And so much that's in that is true, has been my experience. Like, spirit communicates in numerals. All spirit communication is numbers. And then our heads decode those numbers into images and knowing things that we just know, and feelings and sense and things like that. All, everybody decodes that. It reminds me of during World War II, the Allies had departments of decoders that would intercept the Nazi messages, and they were able to decode them, and then they knew what their plans were. It helped us win the war.
Yes.
During that time. So I find that that's very much the case in Hollywood, you know, whether that be movies or TV, and there are endless shows. Frozen 2 has so much spirituality in it, and it's just remarkable to watch some of these different movies and shows.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know you mentioned scanning bodies, and I mean, that's fascinating what you can see. So if you've scanned thousands of bodies, what for you is the most surprising connection you've seen between an emotional wound and a physical illness, if you can tell that story?
There's always a connection 100% of the time. And it's the most important part of a healing, because we can fix body parts all day long, but if you're leaking power, what's the point? And so how that works for me is when I get somebody on my radar, I connect into them, and it's like I have a big screen TV in my head and I'm seeing broken bones, torn ligaments, viral infections, bacterial infections, cancer, or metastasized cancer, whatever. And then there's always an energetic healing that happens. And that can take the form of something getting added, something getting removed. I watch procedures all the time in my mind's eye that emulate what I saw in surgery for decades. I'm an inventor and former manufacturer of surgical devices sold throughout the world. So, of course, my frame of reference would be what I saw in surgery. Sometimes I see healings, Debbie, that utilize methodologies and devices that haven't been invented yet. And that's fun, because that appeals to my inventor brain. And so something will be identified, there'll be a healing. Something will be identified, there'll be a healing. It goes very fast. And I'll describe to the person with whom I'm working what I'm seeing, because I want them to envision it. When they do, it helps integrate the healing into their body. And at the end of the healing, I always do what I call the energy field membrane healing. And the energy field membrane is the container that holds the energy that makes up our body and our spirit. Think of it as a big plastic bag with really thin plastic. And when there's a tear or a hole in that membrane, there's an energy leak. Energy leaks always precede any kind of medical condition, and they're caused by an energy block, a la Eastern medicine, acupressure, acupuncture, clear the block, get the chi to move, that whole concept, Debbie. Energy blocks in turn are caused by an emotional event, either in this life or a past life. And I'm not going necessarily for the most dramatic or traumatic, but I'm going for where did that block begin? Because when we can illuminate that, it immediately eradicates it and gets rid of all the other emotional energy that's piled on top of that block. through it all of a person's lifetime causes enough pressure, causes a rupture in that membrane. So once the membrane heals, and it does instantly as soon as we identify what that emotional event was, then it helps the body regain and maintain health. And that emotional event can range from somebody called you a bad name when you were little and it hurt your feelings. And we think, well, that was no big deal, but it was a big deal to your three-year-old little self when that happened. Or my favorite dramatic story happened to a woman in Guernsey. She lived on Guernsey, which is one of the northern British Isles. And I went in, she had a huge rupture in her energy-filled membrane. It looked like somebody shot a beach ball from the inside out. I mean, it was that big. And she was in her 30s, probably her late 30s. And I envisioned going in. It's like I'm walking into a scene in the movie. And I saw her as a preteen, and there was a big explosion behind her. And I said, does that mean anything to you? And she said, absolutely. I was a victim of an IRA bombing when I was 11. And she said, I spent 3 months in the hospital and I still have shrapnel in my thigh. And I thought, okay, that qualifies as traumatic. So as soon as we illuminated that, of course, that caused an energy block. As soon as we illuminated it, eradicated it, her energy field membrane healed, her body went back to working on full power and helped her regain and maintain health. It's really fascinating. If it's a past life that shows up, we'll get where it was, when it was, what happened, and then we'll correlate that with how does it relate to what they're experiencing in their current life. And past lives are so much fun because oftentimes we can validate the information that we get energetically and spiritually with historic documentation online.
Oh, I am fascinated by what you just said, all of it. And to have the ability to remove something like that, that's aberrant from another person, animal, etc. What a beautiful gift. And when you do it as a healer, what is that like? Is it like smoke? Like sometimes when I do energetic extraction shamanically, I can tell where the clog is, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But I also once I clean things out, you know, then I always go back and I sort of, the best way I could say like smoke or dark smoke, I let that come up. And it's very different for everybody or for a group, but I definitely always extract that. What is it like for you?
I see body parts. Like I'm looking at an anatomy book. And so I'll see broken bones and I'll see torn ligaments and things like that. When I'm working with somebody, I use stem cell energy a lot. It's spirit working through me and with me to help them heal themselves. Because nobody ever heals anybody else, ever. No medical provider, no doctor, no shaman like you, no healer like me, nobody. You know, you go to the emergency room with a cut, big cut on your leg, the doctor's going to stitch it up, but you make your own skin grow back. That's how all this works too. So I'll see new organs get generated with stem cell energy, and I'll watch the diseased organ get removed. I'll watch all the plumbing get clamped off like in surgery, and then I'll watch a mold, think of a plastic mold. When I was manufacturing surgical devices, we used blow molds and injection molds, which were plastic molds. And so I'll watch the stem cell energy go into the mold, let's say, of a left kidney. And then I watch all the plumbing get clamped off inside the body. I watch the diseased kidney get removed, the new kidney get installed, stitched into place. And then the funniest thing, Debbie, is when it cranks up, you know, when we release the clamps and we get the new organ working, I always hear a diesel motor start, like a Harley motorcycle starting up or a diesel truck. It's hilarious. And it will light up. It's like somebody flips a light switch on. And so that's fascinating. Sometimes those organs will show up on a subsequent X-ray or CT scan, and it freaks the doctors out. And I've had some call me over the years and say, what are you doing? And how does this stuff work? And so I explained to them, really every cell has a nucleus. Every nucleus is surrounded by cytoplasm. I see a watery looking gel go into this mold. And then there's always a vortex above it that I watch that transforms the stem cell energy into whatever body part we need. And then, you go back to your fourth grade science lessons. Every nucleus is surrounded by cytoplasm, which is a watery gel, and our bodies have a centrifugal force in them that spins, that causes the cells in our body to replicate and, to the tune of billions of them a day. So I believe I'm watching this healing and warp speed of what our bodies do on their own. And we're just helping that person heal themselves over whatever's going on. The stem cell energy is really just amazing stuff. I'll even see it patch up leaking breast implants, kind of like as a, super glue kind of a thing, because I'll see the leaking breast implant internally and I'll say, okay, let me patch this up until you can go get that removed and, get it fixed. So it's really remarkable the things that I get to see in my mind's eye and then convey that to my client or my caller. I have a live show every Thursday night at 8, Ask Julie Ryan, and people call in from all over the world. And we can talk to your dead grandma. We can scan your cat. We can do a energy healing on you. We can tell how close to death somebody is. We can do past life. We can, it's just a blast. Because I never know who's calling.
When is your show? Tell us when we can
listen to the show. Every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. And we do a live stream on YouTube. So people submit questions on the chat. And then we have people call in. It's AskJulieRyanShow.com, but all of that's at AskJulieRyan.com, my website. But it's so fun, Debbie, because I never know who's calling. I never know who my team's going to put through, my producer. And so it's like a crapshoot. I never know what spirit's going to say. I never know what's going to happen. And so it's an hour of just really a lot of fun.
It's like, for instance, dogs, I've come to learn this, and I never knew this before, but many, many, many dogs will die of heart disease, heart murmur, leaky valve, regurgitation, and it goes into chronic heart failure. So what about something like a dog with a heart like that who basically needs open heart surgery? Or another extreme example would be like a human with bone on bone arthritis, because that's missing basically the viscous gel between the bones and the joints. And that usually necessitates a replacement. What do you do with cases like that?
Well, see them all the time. Not only the heart in animals, I see it more in humans than I do in animals, but I'll give you answers to both of those questions. On the heart, what I'll watch is a new valve get manufactured on the side with the stem cell energy. And in some of my inventions, we use what's called an anti-reflux valve. So I explain it like, think of a doggy door. The doggy door, the dog can go in and out, right? Well, when it comes to heart valves in animals or in humans, it only needs to go one direction. We don't want it coming backwards. We don't want it regurgitating backwards. So I'll watch a new valve get generated with stem cell energy in a mold, like I described, the left kidney just a couple minutes ago. I'll watch it get clamped like what they do in surgery. I'll watch the defective valve get removed. I'll watch the new one get put in, and then I'll watch it get tested. There's always a testing that happens. Sometimes the clamp will be removed and it'll need a few more energetic stitches. Now, is this exactly what's happening? It's a frame of reference from a human perspective that I understand that I can convey to the person with whom I'm working so they can have a frame of reference, which helps the energy integrate into their body in the form of a healing. We don't have a human frame of reference for energy healing. It doesn't make sense to us. But spirit gives me these visuals so that I can explain to them, Here's an analogy for what's happening in a way that you can understand it. And sometimes they're hilarious. Like, I may tell you your elbow looks like whipped cream or something crazy, but it's just how spirit communicates to me. It's not about what the visual is. It's about the energy that when we picture what I'm describing or get a sense, a feeling sense, like some people aren't visual, they're more kinesthetic, and they'll feel something happening during the healing. So there's that. As far as the needing a joint replaced, and I'm an inventor of orthopedic surgery devices sold throughout the world, so I know a little bit about that. It's interesting because I'll see stem cell energy get put into those joints, and then there's always a vortex there that'll transform the stem cell energy into whatever we need. Yesterday, I was working with a gentleman and in Florida, and his left hip was bothering him. So when I got him on my radar, you know, think about the ball in the socket of the hip. Well, the backside of the socket was worn down from, he was in his 60s and it was worn down and he'd played football and probably who knows what else. So I watched the stem cell energy build up that back portion of that socket, similar to if we had clay and we were molding it so that it would be more of a U shape, which would help the ball of his hip stay in the middle of the socket and not get out of whack and cause pain. And so I get to see these amazing healings in my head. Oftentimes, people will come to me, Debbie, when they've been to see many doctors. I'm sure the same with you. And they're like, I've seen five doctors, five diagnoses, five treatment plans. I still got the same symptoms. You know, what's going on? And we'll be able to pinpoint what's happening and then reverse engineer their symptoms based on what's going on after the healing. I had a really amazing one happen last week. May I share that?
Love to hear it.
I was working with a guy who had been to multiple doctors, and he had neuropathy and all kinds of neuro issues. He was in a wheelchair. He could only stand for a couple of minutes at a time. And his doctors, they didn't know what to do with him. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't know if he had ALS or whatever. And I'm here, and when I'm scanning somebody, I'm seeing the healing happening in my head. I'm identifying something. I'm getting information downloaded into my head. I call those divine downloads. And I'm chit-chatting with my client. So you and I, it's a good thing because we're girls. We can multitask, right? It's a female superpower. So I get this guy on my radar, Debbie, and inside his body, it looks like pond scum, the whole thing. I had never seen it that bad before, like greenish, brownish, yuck. And I heard, this is toxic poisoning, toxic chemicals. So I said to him, do you live near a manufacturing plant? And he said, yeah, I live on the Mississippi River and I'm 10 miles downstream from a manufacturing plant, huge. And I said, all right, you're being poisoned. This is toxic. I said, this is like an Aaron Brockovich situation, like the movie. And I said, are you by any chance using well water on your property? And he said, yeah, that's our source of water. I said, it's contaminated. You have to stop. And then we were able to reverse engineer his symptoms, did the energetic healing, and I'll always get information about things they can do on the human side to help integrate the healing into their bodies. So it's always really fascinating. Oftentimes people will be full of mold and the doctors will just miss it because they're not trained to look for it. Right. And I'll say, you're full of mold. Have you had a water leak in your home? And they'll say, yeah, but that was years ago. We got it fixed. And then we'll look inside the walls and I'll say, well, no, you got a bunch of mold, you know, next to your staircase, going up your front staircase or whatever.
It's very, very dramatic and awesome. And I hope these people stay in touch with you because I would be very joyful myself if I did that work for someone to let me know, a year down the road, 5 years down the road, like this never came back. I am free. I have been on the up and up ever since. Thank you so much. Like, I would love to hear how folks are doing because this is a major gift you're talking about. Impressed. So I'm going to take a quick pause, my friends, right here. We're going to go a little deeper into this work with Julie. And first, couple of calls to action for you. I have a free gift for you. If you would like to find out what star seed you are, what galaxies you're from, your galactic lineage, it is at debbiedashinger.com/starseed. And if you spell my name right, you'll get there. It's Debbie with an I, Dachinger with a C. So it's DEBBIDACHINGER.com/starseed. February 20th to the 23rd, I am speaking, moderating, very busy at the LA Conscious Life Expo. Come hear me speak. And some of the most amazing presenters are going to be there. I mean, the biggest of the big. Just check out the website so you can see the names. I'd love you to come. Go to debbiedashinger.com/CLE, Conscious Life Expo, CLE. January 6th, I am rolling out Shamanism Level 1. If you are ready to answer the call of the medicine inside of you to remember who you really are and the gifts you already have, please join me. The practices, the tools, we are going there on the path. It is the most beautiful way to start the new year. And I will say, years, years, years ago, when I had my very unexpected awakening around this, I really joined with some of the most profound shamans around the world because I just wanted the information. I wanted to understand this confusing information that was coming to me. And I went for the information, but what I received was tremendous change in who I was and who I am still today. You can get that too. I'd love to be your shaman facilitator, your shamanista. So come join me. We only have a limited amounts of seats, 15 seats, but some have been booked already. Grab yours, debbiedashinger.com/L1 for level one. debbiedashinger.com/L1. I want to tell you also our beautiful guest, Julie Ryan, has a free gift for you. It is a book and it is called Angelic Attendance. What happens when we transition from this life into the next? And you can get your free book from her at julieryangift.com. I love that I don't even have to spell her name like mine. That's a gift right there. And finally, folks, if this conversation we are having means something to you, go ahead, hype the videos. It helps your support when you subscribe, when you comment, when you like, when you hype. It really helps us reach more star seeds, more light workers around the globe who are hungry for this information. So we'd like to feel supported also by our community. Please go ahead and as you're watching this video, do something for us too. Reciprocity is beautiful. Definitely subscribe, like, and comment. I read them. And now we're going to bring Julie back for an experience of her buffet of psychicness. So I want you to guide me a little bit here. I could certainly ask you questions. And if you want to give some global answers, or if you want to, and I'm sorry I would have brought somebody here, but you can use me if you want to do some kind of a reading or an angel or a super open. I just want folks to see your gift in action.
Well, gosh, I think we have 730 episodes on Ask Julie Ryan. So, anywhere podcasts, you listen to podcasts, any of the YouTube channels, the Ask Julie Ryan channels. So ask me questions and we'll go from there. We do three shows a week. Two are interviews, and then one's the live show on Thursday nights at 8 Eastern at Ask Julie Ryan. So it's just a fast hour of boom, 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 boom. Here's what's happening. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, how about, can you show us a past life for humanity that explains some of our current global challenges? What do we need to remember?
Well, I think that we need to remember what's a good idea to remember is that everything always works out. If it hasn't worked out yet, it's not finished. That's number one. Number two, everything we need, everybody we need all show up in the perfect time. People say, well, God, we're more divided now than we ever have been in America, especially and in the world. And I say, really? Have you ever heard of the Civil War? Have you ever heard of the Crusades? Have you ever heard of all these other wars throughout history? It's just that we have a 24/7 cycle now of media and news where we know about it. Things happened all over the world and we just didn't know. For heaven's sakes, the Civil War, there were family members that were fighting against each other, one on for the North and one for the South. And so I say, turn off the news. Don't watch it. Then you don't have to worry about it because, in most instances, there ain't anything you can do about it, anyways. So I find that when people say we've never been more divided and all that, I don't find that to be the case at all. We create our reality based on our thoughts, and what you focus on is what you get more of. It's really that simple. Past lives, we come in, each generation is more advanced than the next. And so that's how a toddler who isn't talking in sentences yet knows how to use an iPhone better than I do or an iPad, right? And so we do that, and it's fun to see how things are moving forward. I think it's very exciting how the zeitgeist is changing, and more people are getting interested in spirituality and the star seeds and all of that. And certainly that's your wheelhouse that you're an expert in. And it's fun to watch it unfold. I think that's for two reasons. I think, first of all, a lot of this whole woo-woo and star seed and all that's been around since the beginning of time. And as we've become more well-educated and proof-based over the last 150 years or so, some of that is kind of taken a back seat. And frankly, those people that thought that way are dying off. And the younger people that are coming up are not as inundated with the fire and brimstone and, all of that. You got to prove it to me. Things resonate with them way more so than perhaps their parents or their grandparents who were taught how they were supposed to think about things. And so I see a really big shift happening with the world in general, as far as how spirituality is becoming coming back, let's say, to be way more a part of the zeitgeist.
What does Source want us to understand about fear? And how does fear distort intuition?
Fear, there's either love or fear. There's two things, two emotions. It's either love, which is a high vibration, fear is a low vibration. Everybody feels fear. Every thought that feels badly is based in fear. Anger, jealousy, boredom, grief, actual fear, anxiety. Anything that feels bad is based in fear. So the key is we want to be able to discern between what's a real fear and what's a fake fear. From our human perspective, 99.9% of the time, when we have a thought that feels badly, it's a fake fear. And the only ones we really need to be concerned about are the ones that are going to harm us or kill us, like on the spot. So a rational fear would be you're standing in the middle of a freeway and there's a semi truck headed towards you. Get out of the road before the truck runs you over. That's a rational fear. An irrational fear would be, oh my God, I'm running late for a doctor's appointment. And if I miss it, I won't be able to get in for another 9 months. And what if there's something really wrong with me? And then we go down this black hole of all these things we imagine that we're making up. And then we suffer over all this stuff we've imagined that isn't real. The problem with fear and thoughts is, when we have a thought that feels badly, our bodies go into fight or flight because the body doesn't know the difference between the two. So spirit downloaded to me several years ago, Debbie, what I call the 2-minute rule. Are
Yeah,
you, Ellie, the
that
two
means
minute rule?
that's in one of
And
your books, and I'd love
it
you to
is.
share. What is that?
Yeah. And how it works is when you have a thought that feels bad, you just ask yourself in a nanosecond in your head, is this going to kill me in the next 2 minutes? And it's a yes or no answer. If the answer is yes, get out of the road before the truck runs you over. That can harm you or kill you. Change the conditions before it does. If the answer is no, and it will be 99.9% of the time, then you know that's a fake fear. It keeps you out of fight or flight. When we go into fight or flight, several things happen. First of all, our cortisol and our norepinephrine levels go up, which causes inflammation, which is the root cause of all disease and illness, number one. Number two, the blood drains from our brain and goes to our extremities and our heart so we can run away quickly from whatever the perceived fear is. So we lose clarity. So when we're in a panic about something, like we're running late for a doctor's appointment, we lose clarity. We're not thinking clearly. You know, if you're thinking clearly, you pick up the phone and you call the office and you say, "Hey, I'm stuck in traffic. And, how long is your wait time in the waiting room?" And they'll say, "Oh, it's an hour. You're fine. Come on." Because most doctors' waiting rooms, you wait an hour to be seen, or they put you in a room and then you wait another hour to be seen. So we're suffering over something that we don't need to. The beauty with the 2-minute rule, Debbie, is that you can use it unlimited times a day. You can use it in any situation. It's free and it's convenient. It works anywhere your brain is, and your brain's always with you wherever you are.
So the 2-minute rule is this going to kill me within the next 2 minutes? And
Yeah,
if
it's
it's
a
a
yes or
yes,
no. Yeah.
it's a valid situation. Do something immediately. Don't wait
Right.
those 2 minutes. And if
Right.
it's not, then you can ascertain something irrational is happening within me and is a thought form. It is not real. It is not based in reality. And then we release it. We let it
Yeah,
go.
it keeps you from going into fight or flight. So you keep your clarity about you. There are so many times it's just become a habit for me. If I have a thought that feels bad, I'm immediately, is this going to kill me in the next 2 minutes? No. And then I'll say to myself, okay, Ryan, quit being a drama queen here. And I'll laugh. And curiosity is a high vibration. When we're curious, we're interested in something, we want to know more. It oftentimes is fun. And so it immediately gets you out of that low vibration of fear where we're imagining things that aren't real. And then, we all go down that black hole of the what ifs. And you're running late for a doctor's appointment, but the black hole may be the bottom you hit is, oh my God, I'm going to die starving and homeless on the street. Really? Because you're late for a doctor's appointment? But that's where we go because we're all hardwired for fear.
That's great. So, what message do the angelic attendants have for humanity right now, collectively?
That we're supported beyond what we can ever imagine. There are angels and spirits around us all the time. They're communicating with us all the time. It's just a matter of raising our vibrational level to be able to hear them. I teach that our heads are like big satellite dishes and they receive and they transmit frequencies. And every spirit has a frequency they keep throughout all of their lifetimes. So you have a question you want answered. You just think of AI, a new meaning for the acronym AI, artificial intelligence. Yes, but think of attention intention. Your attention is, how do I solve this situation? Well, okay, so you're going to get information into your head. That's going to be from spirit energetically. And how you know that's coming in from spirit is it's that first thing that comes in your head, fast as you can snap your fingers. You want to talk to a deceased loved one. You want to talk to anybody. Their spirit's attached to a body or not. Whether you knew them or not is irrelevant. You want to talk to your late grandfather. Hey, granddad. You're thinking of granddad. That tunes your satellite dish head to granddad's frequency. Every spirit has a frequency they keep throughout all their lifetimes. Every thought has a frequency. So back to our heads, all communication is numerical. Numbers are coming into our head. We're decoding it. in our brains. So, hey, granddad, you say something to granddad, either ask a question or make a statement. Granddad's going to answer you instantly, sometimes before the thought's even done being thought out all the way. And that trips people up because they'll say, well, I didn't even finish my thought. And I'll say, time doesn't exist in the spirit world. Time's a human creation. So granddad's already got your thought. And then he's giving you, his spirit's answering you. And you can do that with any spirit, whether they're attached to a body or not is irrelevant. Whether you knew them or not is irrelevant. You just think of them. Leonardo da Vinci. Hey, Leo, I got a question for you. Boom. You're tuned into his frequency. And it's like it opens a two-way radio communication.
I knew a man once back in the day when summits were summits. They were a real thing and they were money makers. There was an older gentleman who used to talk about exactly what you're saying. And he said he wanted to become a photographer. So he bought a camera and he went out. I believe he lived in San Diego and he went out to the beach and he took these photos and he sent them to a gallery. And apparently he had, I missed this big part, he had accessed a very famous photographer that he was taken with. That was the first step. Then he got the camera, then he took the pictures, and then he submitted them and they got picked up by a gallery.
Wow.
And he was so excited about the possibilities that he said, I would like to sing and play a synthesizer. Never took a lesson, but he thought of who to him were the greatest singers that had lived and or were deceased. And he called in their energy and just said, you know, show me how to do this, come through me. And energy is energy. It exists everywhere. And I remember hearing in one of these summits, his music, and it was outstanding.
Yeah.
This man could sing. So
nice.
I know it's very valid what you're saying, that we can access the brilliance from all these different creatures. I think, and it's so exciting to me because it always goes back to the idea, we all say it, but who really does it and believes it? We are all one.
Yeah.
We truly are.
Well, and every great entrepreneur, every composer, every author, every whatever, we're all channeling. It's all coming in from spirit, whether people realize it or not. Every author, myself included, you write something, you go back and you read it later and you go, eh, this is pretty good. I don't remember writing it, but this is pretty good. Well, we're all channeling. You know, Paul McCartney talked about it. All these great composers talk about they wake up and they've got some sonata or something that they're writing. I think you touched on the screenwriters before. They're all channeling too. You think J.K. Rowling just dreamt that all up? I think you look at the George Lucases and those kind of guys, the Roddenberry guy that did the Star Trek series, they were really, I mean, their imaginations are that good that Lucas can dream up Chewbacca and Jabba the Hutt and all that jazz. I mean, it's fascinating when we think about that. And that's what we all do. I have a communications degree. How do I invent surgical devices? That was long before I knew woo-woo even existed. Well, I got the idea. I was led step by step by step to bring in engineers, bring in people who knew manufacturing, bring in all these other things. I knew how to read. I knew what needed to be invented and just took step by step by step. So I think that's something else that I'm hearing from spirit right now, which is a lot of us believe that we're just going to get, here's a map. You know, here's how you get from A to B. That's not how it works. You're led step by step by step. And it's the adventure that you're on because we're all here to create. And we all know once we accomplish whatever it is we're thinking we want to do, what do we immediately do? We think of something else to do. And then I think we die and we go to heaven. And what do? We create what our next lifetime is going to be that we want to explore. So it's all about creating. And that's the fun part.
Well, what is the single most misunderstood truth about death that would comfort instantly people who are listening if they knew it?
Everybody's surrounded by angels and the spirits of deceased loved ones and pets as they're transitioning, and they're greeted by them once they get to heaven, regardless of how they die. If they die instantly, like in the case of a homicide or suicide, or they die over days, weeks, months, even years, everybody is surrounded by angels. Nobody ever dies alone, ever, ever, ever. And that's something that people... Really, it's been known since the beginning of time. May I give an example of that?
Please.
I was raised Roman Catholic, 12 years of Catholic schools, and I think that Catholics do a great job of teaching their children about angels and saints and the Holy Spirit and stuff like that. And it gives us a platform from which to launch into bigger, broader spirituality within the confines of religion or not. Doesn't matter. And so when my mother was dying, I'd never been around anybody who was dying before. And I had started studying the woo-woo, but I hadn't ever seen what happened when somebody died. And I felt like the Lady of Justice statue. This is what I talk about in the angelic attendance book. Because on one side, my heart was breaking. And on the other side, I'm watching all this glorious stuff unfold energetically and spiritually. So I saw her be surrounded by angels and spirits of deceased loved ones and pets and all these spirits from all these lifetimes that she'd lived. And at her funeral, at the end of every Roman Catholic funeral, there's a prayer either said or sung called In Paradisum. And in Latin, it stands for into paradise. And it talks about how the angels and your loved ones will greet you and lead you into paradise. Debbie, I had heard that prayer a bunch of times by the time I was at my mother's funeral in my mid-40s. And I really heard that prayer at her funeral. And I thought, good Lord, I just saw this happen. So when I was writing angelic attendance, I thought, I wonder where that prayer originated. And what I learned was it began as a 5th century Gregorian chant. So I have to believe that maybe it took till the 5th century till somebody was well-educated enough that they could read and write. And back then, certainly those people were men living in monasteries and synagogues. They were the scribes. And I thought, I'll bet people have been able to see this since the beginning of time. And as we've become more well-educated and more proof-based, we've lost some of that. And now the university-based research is catching up with it and showing that, in fact, 90% of people see the spirits of deceased loved ones and pets. So it's like we're going back to the future. You know, it's happened since the beginning of time. And so that's how the book came about. I have a funny story about that. May I share that? I was a few years after my mom died, I had seen this with several other family and friends, you know, at the end of their lives and worked with their families. And I wasn't doing this full time yet. And so one day I was with my mentor and she was doing a healing on me and my loved one's spirits line up on both sides of the table and my Katie dogs there on her hind legs with her little paws on the table. And so this spirit of this dead Pope shows up and he's got his Pope hat on and his shepherd's rod. And I said, well, who are you? Hi, who are you? And he said, I'm Clement. And I said, I'm so sorry. I've never heard of a Pope Clement. And he laughed. And he said, well, I was number 6. I said, okay, how may I help you? Kind of like, why are you here? And he said, you're supposed to teach the world what happens when somebody dies, because it's been so bastardized over the millennia. And people are afraid and it's stupid. There's no reason. It's glorious. So you need to just get on with it and teach people. And I said, oh, gosh, thank you so much for the offer, but I'm really not interested because, you see, I'm a businesswoman and people will think I'm nuts if I talk about this. Can you imagine being at a dinner party? Hey, would you like to know what happens when somebody dies? I don't think so. So he laughed and he said, no, you need to, everything you've done in business, you need to just go ahead and get on with it and help people know this because people are afraid and there's no reason to be afraid and you know it. So I said, again, thank you so much. I'm not interested. So I go to my car to leave a little while later and on my phone, I'm just looking up Pope Clement VI. Come to find out this guy was in office during the Black Plague, when two-thirds of Europe died. Debbie Heat is best known for his prayers for the dying and his prayers for the dead. And I'm
Oh.
thinking, Ryan, you can't make that up. I mean, I never heard of the guy. So fast forward a few years, I'm at church Sunday morning. The priest during his sermon says, "Wouldn't it be nice if somebody really could tell us if angels and our loved ones greet us and lead us into paradise, like the prayer?" And I'm getting elbowed from my husband and my son. And I'm going, "God, really? From the pulpit, you're giving me grief over this? Okay, okay." So wrote angelic attendance, put up the website. A couple months later, I'm lecturing at a business conference. And I'm thinking, okay, I hope nobody gives me any grief, you know, that they see my website or anything. So I give my talk. There's probably, I don't know, hundreds of people in the audience, C-suite executives, mostly men. At the end of my talk, this guy comes up. He's got his iPad open to askjulieryan.com. And I'm thinking, oh, here we go. And he said, "Is this you?" While my picture is on the homepage, I said, "Well, yes, it is." And I'm thinking, oh, get ready. And he said, "I would like to sit with you at lunch because I want to know more." And so I smiled and I said, "Yeah, I'd love that." And in my head, I'm thinking, great, I'll just get pummeled for an hour at lunch about this woo-woo stuff. Long story short, I sat at a table of eight people, seven men and me. All they wanted to talk about was spirituality stuff. They didn't want to talk about the conference, their businesses, what my talk was about, none of it. They just wanted to know about the spiritual stuff. And so that was when I finally said, okay, I'm in. And I needed that validation that, yeah, you know, you put yourself out there and it's going to be just fine.
That is powerful. What an amazing story. And I love that it gets capped off by C-suite businessmen. If you needed proof.
Exactly.
That's what captivated them. That's what they found fascinating, even superseding. And I'm sure your talk was amazing. Still, you know, they were redirecting you and showing you, no, you know, for today, you are really built for this. And this is your mission. And I mean a pope. How could you turn down the pope?
The funniest thing is whenever he shows up, he's got his pope hat on. And I say, "Clement, I know who you are after all these years. You don't have to wear the hat." And he says, "Yeah, but it looks good, don't you think?" You know, because they're so funny, aren't they? Spirits are just hilarious.
Oh, wow. Well, tell us, Miss Julie Ryan, this has been really amazing. Where can people find you? What is next for you?
Well, askjulieryan.com is the best place to find me. We've got online training. We've got in-person training a couple of times a year. We have a new book coming out here soon, and it's a series of true angel stories from graduates of my class. All kinds of miraculous stories that are true. That's fun. We've got a phone app that'll be out next year where you can submit a 1-minute video with your question and I'll answer it for you. We're calling that Spirit Chat. So a lot of fun things happening.
Beautiful. And when you say training, do you teach people to do what you do?
Yes. Everybody can do what I do. And if you come to my weekend training, which I teach online in the spring, and then I do a live one in person in the fall, people are doing this stuff within the first hour. And they don't think they can ever do it. Everybody can do this. We're all doing it. It's just a matter of recognizing it, developing it, and enhancing it. And all of my training has live practice groups that go with it, even the self-paced training, because I find that that's really where our skills ramp up. When we get validation for the information we're getting and you do it over time, it's like anything else, you know, it's practice. And then you get really good at it. Everybody can do this.
And that's julieryan.com. And Julie, this is Dare to Dream. What are you next, Dare to Dream? Future dreams and goals.
Oh gosh, just serving, you know, serving. I'm following where I'm being led. This is the first time out of 9 companies that I've founded that I don't have a business plan. So things just unfold and I'll get a divine download on something and then off to the races. And so my team's been great to say, oh God, what's she going to do next? I don't know. You know, I just follow where I'm led. And it's all about at this point, just serving, helping, you know, helping people understand nobody ever dies alone. You know, we're all surrounded by angels. Think about COVID. Think about the people that couldn't be with their loved ones because they were in a hospital or a nursing home. Think about somebody who's in the military who loses a family member and they're worried that they died alone, or a first responder or somebody who dies by suicide. Their family really suffers. And that's the big takeaway message is nobody ever dies alone.
Thank you for the message. Thank you for being on the show today.
My honor. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I end today's show with this reminder: death is not an ending. Healing is not a mystery, and intuition is not a gift for the few. It's the soul remembering how to listen. Next week on the podcast, big week on Monday, I've got JP Military here. Yes, I secured the same gentleman who's been known for being on Michael Sala's show. We're going to be talking about everything, UFO, ET, ant beings, hollow earth that the military has been involved in. Also on Thursday, I'm speaking with Pamela Downs, who shares channeled messages that reveal the true unfiltered experience of a modern channeler. And also as a reminder, I am on the Mystery School at Sea Celebrity Cruise, March 2026. There are still a few cabins left. So please go ahead and book your cabins. Laura Eisenhower, Debbie Solaris, myself, Vivian Chavez, Geraldina Rusco, we're all on the ship together and more. Going to Greece and Turkey. If you want the adventure of a lifetime, join us. MysterySchoolAtSea.com. Click on Debbie Dashinger under referral, and I can't wait to be with you, have dinners with you, go to these ancient sites together. This has been Dare to Dream for curious souls connecting with extraterrestrial life, higher dimensions, and ancient shamanic wisdom. Remember, subscribe to this #1 transformation conversation. Thanks for being with us today.